overwhelming, overwhelming. Lord, just come in. Continually soften our hearts that we might open up to what you have to say to us. Open up to your word that we might hunger for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you're in this place, in our presence. Minister your life to us, Lord. In your precious name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. One of the things, I don't know about you, but I can be kind of an emotional person sometimes. Is anybody else like that? Like you can be an emotional person? One of the emotions that I struggle with sometimes is this emotion called anger. Does anybody else have that? Anybody else have a temper? Yes. Some of you are sort of looking around, not me, I don't have that problem. But I'll tell you, when I see some of the things that are going on in the news, some of the things that I see, I kind of get ticked off. I get, you know, and that's sort of the title of my sermon, you know, I'm just ticked off. And when I say I'm ticked off, it's because, you know, I just get tired sometimes of the foolishness and the silliness that we see on the news. I get tired of that, especially when I see really hurting people and we just sort of ignore the hurting people so that we can be ticked off about whatever our pet peeve is. And I want to come to you today to say this right now. Anger is not always wrong. Okay? Anger is not always a sin. Sometimes you should be ticked off about things. When I see little babies hurt, I get ticked off. When I see little children abused, I get ticked off. When I see people that are forgotten in our society and we just sort of throw them away, I get ticked off. When I see good people go through hard times and difficult times, I get ticked off. You know, this sort of came to me this last week when I see so many people lose their loved ones. You know, I sort of get ticked off. But the problem is many times is we get ticked off the wrong way and we're not ticked off the right way. And I want to sort of clarify that today, that it's okay to get angry. In fact, if you're a Christian believer, there's times when you should be angry. There's times when you see things that are unjust, that are not, are people that are hurt unjustly, you should be angry and you should get ticked off. And the reason you should get ticked off is because God gets ticked off. You know that God gets angry? But we need to see what is the difference between what it means to be ticked off in the right way and what it means to be ticked off in the wrong way. But before I do that, I want to show you that there are times when God gets angry. Let's go to the book of Matthew. And in the book of Matthew, we get a prime example of seeing God get ticked off. In Matthew chapter 21. In fact, this is pretty soon we're going to be celebrating. I don't know about, probably in about a month or so, we're going to be celebrating what's known as Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday, if you know what that's about, is Jesus coming in the week before the week before Holy Week, as when Holy Week starts. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem to celebrate Holy Week, and he's coming in. And as he comes in on the donkey, people begin to wave palms and say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And they greet him, you know, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." You know, and he's coming in. And of course, some of these very same people very well could have been at the end of the week the ones who were calling for him to be crucified. But see, Jesus wasn't ticked off about that. He didn't get really excited when they were praising him as he was coming into Jerusalem, because the Bible says he knows what's in people. See, he doesn't get ticked off necessarily because we do wrong things. What he gets ticked off at is the enemy who's behind the wrong things. But he's coming into Jerusalem, and they're worshiping and praising him. And you think, well, everything's great. He should be really happy, but he's not really happy with some of the things that he sees when he gets there, because he gets to the temple, and what does he see? He sees people selling sacrifices. He sees people selling inferior sacrifices. They're selling things that are not worthy of to be sacrificed before God, and he sees people getting cheated. He sees people, the money changers are not changing equitably, and he sees people that are being used and abused in his father's house, and he sees his house becoming a place of merchandise. It's becoming a Walmart right there in the holy place, and he's tired of it. He's sick of seeing this kind of abuse that has happened over and over again. It's not only abuse of God's house, it's abuse of the people who are there honestly to come and worship God during Holy Week, and he gets ticked off. It says in Matthew 21, he says, "Then Jesus went into the temple of God, and he drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves." Everything that was being sold, he turned it over. Now, I don't know about you, but that's like a temper tantrum, wouldn't you think, if you just saw that? In fact, that's probably what he was accused of, was throwing a temper tantrum. He not only threw over the money, the tables, not only did he throw over all that they were buying and selling, but he also had fashioned a whip and began to chase them out with a whip. And you think, Jesus, calm down. Now, had you said that to Jesus, you might have been one who might have got one of the whips, you know. Get out of my father's house. What was he so angry about? Was he so angry because someone had done something wrong to him? No, he'd had things being wrong to him long before this. They had made lies and told lies about him long before this. He got tired of seeing his father's house abused. He says, and he got angry. He got ticked off. And what I want to sort of give you permission today is to be angry when it's appropriate to be angry. But I want to clarify what that means, because most of the time when we're angry, it's not appropriate. And I want to go through some things that sort of give us the idea of what is appropriate. Well, if anger is okay, because I see Jesus get angry, and that wasn't the only time he was angry. I mean, there was a time when he looked at the Pharisees and said, "You white-walled sepulchers." He even resorted to name-calling. So when was that appropriate? Because he was calling it as it was. So there's a time to be angry. Now, I don't know about you, but most of the time when I get angry, there's a lot of reasons why my anger isn't quite what it should be. But with Jesus, it's what it needs to be. He goes on, he says this, "Overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who had sold doves. He said to them, 'It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.'" My house will be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. But you know what? Even with that, his mercy shines forth, because we sort of stop there and we see Jesus' anger. But let's go to the next scripture, because he says, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Isn't that kind of cool? Here he throws out the money. He throws out everything, you know, all the money changers and those are selling, you know, and he gets angry at them. He takes a whip and he drives them out. And then all of a sudden the sick come. And what does he do? He begins to heal them. So what had to happen? See, the reason that he was angry wasn't, it was about the fact that his father's house was not being honored in the way that it should be, nor was it being used in the way that it should be, because it was to be a house of prayer, not a house of merchandise. But also, it was hurting the people, because he wanted to see them come to God. And the moment that he cleansed the temple, all of a sudden the people that were hurting came, and he began to heal them in the temple. Sometimes I get angry when I see people that are hurting. And I wonder, why can't we help them? Why are we so bent on things that are not important? So bent on things that are not important that we fail to help those that are important. See, Jesus saw them doing sacrifices. He saw the sacrifices were inferior to begin with. He saw the sacrifices that the money that they were given was ill-gotten because they were cheating the people. He saw that the hearts of the people really weren't into sacrificing. What they were into was appeasing. And there's a difference. See, a lot of people, I don't point any fingers at any, but in a grand scheme of things, I can imagine that there's many that go to church to appease God. It's called paying up your fire insurance. Making sure that God loves you enough to get to heaven, but he doesn't expect too much of you so that you can still live your own life the way you want. And see, when Jesus sees all this, he gets angry. So this isn't the way it's supposed to be. Have you ever looked at the church of Jesus Christ, not this church, the church of Jesus Christ as a whole, and say, have you ever thought this? This isn't the way it should be. Some of you can say, yeah, I've seen some of that. Or no, I haven't seen that. No, this is the way it always should be. And see, when we see those kind of things, when we see that God isn't taken seriously, it should make us angry. It was making Jesus angry. But here's some of the things that's the problem. Because many times when we get angry at the wrong thing. Now, I'm just going to qualify this. I do not kick my dog. I just want to say that right up front so that some of you are saying, does he kick his dog? I do not kick my dog. But there are times when I go home and my anger is not placed where it should be. It's placed at the feet of my dog. Have you ever done that, where your anger was at your dog? So that you got something happened during the day and you were angry, or something you didn't like, and you came home, and my dogs are loving dogs, both of them. And they will come, and they will, it's just the moment I hit the door, the moment my wife hits the door, they're like, you know, and it's like they're the most beautiful scene. The most love I've ever seen in my life was when I go home and my dogs come up. And now we got this golden doodle. I mean, before I had this like little Shih Tzu size looking little dog, and she would always come up and you know, get on my. Now I've got this golden doodle size dog, okay, and she's still a pup, but she's like 35 pound puppy, okay, and she comes up, and I mean, it's like a dive into my chest, you know, like whoa, boom, you know, and it hits me like this as I get in. And there's times when I get angry and I come home, I'll be angry about something, I'll come home, and she'll come up to me in the most loving way, and I'm going, get off of me, get off of me. Because I'm taking my anger out on her instead of where it needs to go. Anybody ever done that? Or am I just a real rat? Just go ahead and report me to PETA, because sometimes, you know, I take things out on my dog. I don't hit them or kick them, but sometimes I just don't, you know, I push them aside. I don't want anything to do with them, because not because I don't care or because I don't love them. It's because I'm angry and I'm taking it out on them. And many times what we do is we take our anger out on one another or on somebody who doesn't deserve our anger. Because have you ever said this? Has this ever come out of your lips? Where someone was angry at you and you said, let me just ask, who are you really angry at? That's exactly my thoughts. Exactly. He knows. He's looking at his dad right now. With the pastor can't get a laugh, he can always count on somebody to say something funny in the congregation. There. But see, that's the thing that Jesus doesn't do. He doesn't take it out on those who he doesn't want it to be taken out on, who it shouldn't be taken out on. He takes it out on those, and many times we take it out on, take our anger out on one another rather than putting it where it's placed. Well, we're going to look at that. So the first thing, if you want to have anger that's righteous, that's godly, that's a holy type of anger, one of the things that you need to realize is don't take it out on flesh and blood. The Bible says that we do not war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age. As spiritual Christians and people, we need to look beyond the flesh and look to the spirit. Where is the real problem? When I see drug addicts that are on the street, I don't go out there and take my anger out on them that they're into drugs. I take it to where the problem really exists. And where does the problem really exist? It rests in two places. Number one, it rests with the devil. And the other thing is it rests with sin. You want to know why God hates sin? Because he hates seeing people strung out on the streets. You want to know why God hates sin? Because he hates seeing little babies in incubators. You want to know why God hates sin? Because he hates seeing people so lost that they have absolutely no way of coming back to him. That's what he came to do, is to rescue people and bring them back to himself. And his anger is directed at where it needs to be directed, first of all, to the enemy of our souls. And that enemy is the devil, and that enemy is sin in our life. And that anger came out so much so that he was willing to die on the cross, because through the cross he was able to defeat both in one fell swoop. Killed two birds with one stone. Oh, there I go about it. Hurting animals again. I'm sorry. He killed two birds with one stone by defeating Satan and by defeating sin. And that's what he was angry about. He saw the people. He saw those who were abusing other people, and he saw the people who were hurting, that they couldn't come close because there was no way they could afford the sacrifices that were being sold. And even if they could afford the sacrifices, the sacrifices were of such a bad quality that they couldn't even keep the law that was in the Old Testament by sacrificing those sacrifices. And he got angry. But his anger was towards, number one, Satan. And a lot of times when we get angry, that's exactly who we need to be thinking about. Even when someone else does something wrong that angers us, we need to be angry at where we need to place anger where it belongs. There's an enemy of our souls that want to destroy us. And Satan will pit us against each other and make each other angry, when really the problem is not each other. The problem is the enemy that's behind what's making you angry. Number two, God's anger is not selfish. See, Jesus wasn't angry for himself because he had been abused and he was about ready to go be abused. It wasn't about his anger towards him. It was his anger on behalf of the Father, the house that he had that we were to worship in, and he was angry for those who couldn't come to him. So his anger was not for himself. And let's admit it: most of the time, when we're angry, it's about us. Would you agree with that? Most of the time, when we're angry, it's about us. About something that happened that day. It's about something that you just don't happen to like. But the anger was about others. This last week, I received a phone call. Kelly Herber, who has preached here a couple times and is a friend of Central Christian Church, she lost her daughter, Brittany. And immediately, I was sad at first. But then I got angry. And I was even angry, not at God, but I was angry with God. Not with him, in that I was angry at him, but I felt his anger, and I was angry along with him. Because I'm so tired of seeing people get hurt. But you know what? It's going to happen until Jesus comes back. And when you see people hurting like that, when you see people who's lost someone who's so close to you, it is so devastating, Jesus weeps for you. Now, Brittany was a Christian and a believer, and she's in the kingdom of God, and God's going to bring something wonderful out of it. He's going to bring something absolutely beautiful out of it. The Bible says, you know, that he's pleased at the death of his saints. Why? Because he knows that they're going to come into the kingdom of God. They're going to come right in. They're going to live forever. But God is angry because sin, it's sin and the devil that has done this to us. You want to know why you suffer in life? You want to know the reason? It's not because you're a bad person. It's because you live in a world that sin has been allowed to come in, and Satan is rolling that ball, and he's destroying. The Bible says that the devil comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what he does. And as Christians, we should be angry at him and not angry at one another. Number three, as hard as it is to believe, Jesus is in complete control even in the midst of his anger. How do you know that, Pastor? Because after he drove everyone out of the temple, he brought people back in to heal them. He cleansed the temple, and then he cleansed the people. The moment he would preach against the Pharisees, the moment he would speak against the Pharisees, then he would open up his doors to another Pharisee called Nicodemus, and he would sit and begin to talk to him, minister to him. His anger and his frustration was always measured. It wasn't out of control. Often when we get angry, we get out of control. Often when we get angry, we forget that we're a representative of the kingdom of heaven, and we get out of control and we do something, and then we say something and it begins to hurt somebody else, and the cycle perpetuates itself of unrighteous anger. One of the things that I've done for a long time, for about 30 years of my life, is counseled people. And many times when I counsel people, and a lot of times they'll have issues about family or history or something that's happened in their past. And what's going on is they're perpetuating often, not always, sometimes they run the other way, but often they perpetuate the same thing that has happened to them. They perpetuate it on those that they're around. Part of it is generational curses that go from one generation to another. If alcoholism was in grandpa, and it ended up in dad, then it ended up in my brother, and then it would end up in me, because it just keeps perpetuating itself generation to generation to generation until the cycle is finally broken. My grandfather was an alcoholic. His father was an alcoholic before him. My father was an alcoholic. My brother was borderline alcoholic. He's since recovered from that. And believe me, I was on the road to becoming an alcoholic too. The only thing that changed me was the love of Jesus Christ, who cared about me enough to come down and rescue me from a life of alcoholism and drug addiction and drug use. He came down and saved me, and it was the love of God that broke the cycle in me. And he calls me to do the same, to be an instrument of his peace, to let people know that he can break the cycle in you and your family. See, Jesus came to rescue us. He didn't come to condemn us. He didn't come just to get angry at us. He came to love us. And when he saw the injustice taking place, in whatever form it was, he got angry because he saw hurting people. And we should have the very same heart. And I know we do to an extent. I mean, we all, when we see somebody hurting, we don't want them to hurt. But for Jesus, it was so deep that he wept over a whole city. He looked at Jerusalem and he wept. He said, oh, how many times would I have come and gathered you, but you wouldn't do it? How many times I wanted to come and rescue you, but you would not? And his anger towards Satan came out over and over again because of what Satan had done to this world. Number four, do not let your anger fester. This is a big issue. This is a big issue with people. We like to become bitter. So much so that when we get angry, we'll hang on to that anger. We will continually be angry at somebody, and we'll continually be angry, and we won't forget it. And then somebody will do something else. This happens a lot of times in marriages. Have you ever done this? Your husband or your wife did something, and all of you saying, "You always do that." And it, which is kind of an exaggeration because they don't always do it. But it comes out of you. "You always do that." And sometimes they do it. But we continually bring it up and continually bring it up. And it festers. And we continue to pile up the anger. We continue to pile up the hurts. And instead of what we talk about forgiving somebody. But see, when you forgive somebody, you forgive them. That means you remove it. That doesn't mean you become completely ignorant to it anymore. I mean, you know that there's a problem, that there's an issue. But once you've forgiven somebody, you can't be bringing it back up because you've forgiven. See, when God forgives, he forgets. He puts it in the sea of forgetfulness. That doesn't mean he doesn't know that it happened. I mean, but what it does mean is that he won't bring it up again. So when I go to Jesus and I say, "Lord God, please forgive me for this sin that I've done over and over and over again. Please forgive me for my temper that I've allowed to be uncontrolled over and over again. Please forgive me of that, Lord God." He forgives and he forgets. He doesn't come, when I come back the next time, he doesn't say, "Well, you want me to do it again? How many times I got to do it?" Because the previous times have been forgotten, have been removed from my account. And he doesn't keep festering. It doesn't fester with him. But see, we let it fester. What does the Bible say? The Bible says this. If you will, let's go to, let's see. Let's go to, I forget what scripture to take you to. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, he says this: "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." In verse 26, it says, "Be angry and do not sin." So he says that you can be angry. There's times to be angry, but he qualifies and says, "Be angry, do not sin." And then one of the issues is, he says this: "Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." In other words, once the day is over, you need to put it in the past. Because what we do many times in our anger, especially our anger with one another, we want to hang on to it and hang on to it. And it begins to fester and it begins to become infected with anger. And then it becomes sin. He says, "Be angry, but don't sin." And here's one of the ways you don't sin is, once the day's over, it's over. See, once the day was over with Jesus, it was over. He didn't keep coming. He addressed other sin that was happening after that, but he didn't keep coming and keep coming down on them. Instead, he opened his arms wide and was ready to heal, ready to forgive, ready to bring him back into the fold. But we, many times, we let it fester over and over. And then what happens is we end up becoming bitter. And once a person becomes bitter, it's really difficult to reconcile. Anybody bitter? Anybody in here? Go ahead and raise your hands. Tell me who you are and tell me who you're angry with. No, nobody in here. You see, we get angry, we let it fester, and we become bitter. He says, don't let that happen. When the sun hits, and this is really important with your family. It's really important with your family. Once the sun is starting to set, be reconciled. Forgive. Forgive. Parents, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Because you'll just it'll just fester. Children, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Husbands, wives, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Church members, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Forgive. Forgive. And move on. But Pastor, you've made me angry so many times. Well, you should have forgiven me for those times. That shouldn't even be in your remembrance anymore. You shouldn't be stacking up and piling up. Because you know what? When we do that, you know what we're doing? We're doing exactly what Jesus will not do for us. See, what we do is we keep count. You ever see the Lady Justice? You know, she's got the scales. All right? And Lady Justice has the scales. And you know, your sins keep piling up on one side. Boom, boom. And the scales begin to tip like this. Boop, you know, and one's way up here. What we do is we keep piling on sins. We keep piling on sins. And then pretty soon, we're bitter and we become hateful. And we become angry without a cause. Often, sometimes we're angry, and there's really no good reason to be angry. Why? Because we've piled up sins. We've seen people do things, and it's made us angry. And instead of forgiving them and going on and moving on, we've just kept it in our heart, kept it in our mind, and it's just keep piling up, piling up, piling up. And pretty soon, we're bitter. You know what happens to a bitter person? They become cynical about everything. And pretty soon, the church is nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. Is that true? Well, it's true we have hypocrites in here. Because if all of you were not a hypocrite, when I walked in here, one came. Because sometimes I do things that I tell other people not to do. But let me tell you who's in here today. Blood bought, purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, saints of the living God, who have been bought with a price, who have been forgiven of not only the sins they've committed in the past, but the sins they're going to commit in the future. And so that the wrath of God has been removed and he is no longer angry at you. I'll tell you who he's angry at. He's angry at the devil and he's angry at sin. And he loves you. Why? Because he doesn't continue to pile up your iniquity. He removes it from you. As far as the east is from the west. Finally, don't let your anger turn into revenge. Jesus did not take revenge out on people. He did not come to condemn. He came to save. The Father God sent his only Son to redeem them, not to bring revenge against them. Because if he was like that, none of us would have a chance. And we can't be like that either. Be angry when it's appropriate, but don't sin. Someone say amen. Pastor Chris has just given me permission to yell at my dog. No, I did not. That was sin. That was sin. What he did give you permission is to be angry at the devil, be angry at sin, and love the people. That's righteous anger. Let's pray. Lord, we just come to you right now. I pray for those that are hurting in this room. I pray for those that are hurting that we're going to be ministering to in the next week or two. Well, throughout the year, we're going to be ministering to people that are hurting. Father, I've got to admit to you, sometimes I'm just ticked. I just get ticked when I see injustice, when I see things that are wrong, when I see things that are evil. But Lord, help me remember where that evil comes from. Help me remember the root cause of the injustice that we see in our world. Help me remember that you came to bring justice, and that's what we should do too, not to create more injustice. Help us, Lord, to be angry, but not sin. And help us, Lord, that even in our anger, we show loving kindness to the brethren and to those in the world. Because the root is in the enemy. And him we're angry with. We do not fight against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities and powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this age. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. For that reason, we take on the full armor of God. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song.